when it's gonna be. When it's gonna be totally accept, I don't know when, but doesn't matter. Right now, I'm. When everything starts to be really tight, say, oh, Alain, stop. Listen, that's a show. You're just there to watch the shows and do what's coming, but don't control. And that's really new for me. I used to control a lot.
Well, you had the illusion that you were controlling.
This body mind try was sure believe is controlling, and sometimes it's not controlling, and sometimes it's okay, and I have to do this, and I have to do, you have to do fuck all nothing.
Right. Well, that's true though. I think controlling, you know, is natural when you think you're actually doing it.
Well, that's the thing. You give it to mind and you say, everything's going my way. Look how powerful I am. And then it turns around. Oh, these things are not going my way. And you look for someone to blame. Oh, if this person was just doing something different, it would be my way. And then you're getting caught up in this sense of doership where there absolutely is none. And it gets more and more, that's the pain and pleasure. Hey, everything's wonderful. Oh my God, everything's terrible. But neither is true. And when you know yourself in a real sense, and like you were saying about, well, one day I'll know this for sure. Well, whether you know this or not, you are, you know? Whether you're aware of yourself as formless or not, you're formless.
Yeah.
So only the pretending of, like we just talked about, this whole concept of controlling a world. Oh, I'm doing this thing and making this happen. But then it's not happening the way I want it to happen. So then I look for why it's not happening. Oh, the government or my boss or my wife or my friend or society, something is not allowing me to have it my way. So I blame it on that. But when things seem to be going my way, and you could flip a coin and get the same result, 50-50, you know, sometimes it's gonna look like it's going your way, sometimes not. But that's the natural flow of the five elements. And when we're not identified with part of that five elemental flow, then you see, oh, it's just happening. And if something seems to be going my way, okay, well, this is happening. Something seems not, okay, this is happening. But the less me there is, the less it could go my way or not go my way. It just is. Only when I concentrate on making an effort to be something that wants something. But, you know, when you know yourself in a real sense, this all goes away. And you know that you couldn't interact or cause anything in this world. Like, think if you had no hand, and you tried to take a car and just move it just a little bit, or even hell, if you had no hand, just try to move your mouse. So you're formless. And the body and the mouse are within this form-based illusion. And the appearance of movement is taking point inside of you.
I think it would be good if you repeated this periodically to us.
Every night, every time we're here, it's your formless, and you cannot, you know.
But in the detail you've done it, that's been, the talk you just gave was very good, was very helpful.
It's just, when you know yourself in a real sense, you can't really interact with this world. This world is within you, and you know that. And then you say, well, what happens when this body falls? Well, the presence that's occupying this body and enjoying this moment of existence doesn't go away. It doesn't leave and go someplace else. That's why this whole concept of like, oh, when I die, I go off to heaven and all this. But this is, again, from the individualized point of view, and there is no individual. The individual is an appearance within the illusion, just as in your dream. And see, we talk about the dream And we think like when John wakes up, all the dream characters are gone. But if the dreamer is eternal, then if any of the characters, quote unquote, wake up or leave the dream, the dreamer is eternal. These objects are appearing and disappearing and appearing and disappearing and appearing and disappearing. And even in your dream, you can have a little dream funeral for these people. But it's all coming from you. You know this because when you wake up, you say, oh, I had a very wonderful dream. The reality is that you're eternal and outside of time. So the dream of the waking world is taking place within your own self. And whether John or Alan or Trish or any of these body forms are here or not, you are. And that's why they like, okay, what happens? You know, I'm enjoying this experience, but you're enjoying the experience from an individualized point of view. You're universal. The experience continues. There's just no individual experiencing, but there isn't now. There's just the illusion of experience. There's identification with a specific form in which I see a world, but the world is not true. You are. The world is appearance. When we try to relate to dream, the sleeping dream, if the dreamer was eternal and never woke up, then the dream would continue, just continue. And if one little dream body was no longer available to see inside the dream goes on because the dreamer is eternal. And then you say, well, what about the cycle of birth and death? Well, this is only because of the belief in being an individualized person. And when did you come across the cycle of birth and death? When you came across with the body and you came across with the illusory body-based knowledge that tried to explain the existence that isn't existing. Because you know yourself, oh, I exist. And I exist in this world. And now I need a textbook to show me how to live. And I go like we just talked about in the beginning, in the pleasure and pain. I start to seek pleasure and avoid pain and things. And then I get so torn up because the truth is, I am not a doer. No matter how much I pretend to be doing, I'm not the doer. So I'm going to be frustrated by all my attempts at doing. And that's natural. So then what do? I say, oh my God, I have to seek something. Okay, let's seek spirituality. And then spirituality starts to unwind this whole thing and say, you know what? First off, you're needing to give up your actions to this power, this greater power, this higher power. And what is that doing? It's basically trying to erase this concept of being a doer. I say, oh, thy will be done. So then thy will, whether it goes my way or not way, oh, it's thy will. Okay, well, that's just reality. That's how it is. So now I'm erasing this concept of being a doer. And by erasing the concept of being a doer, that erases the concept of me being an individual. Now that will then allow me to progress. I start to read spiritual books. Somehow it comes into my existence. Maybe, depending on my childhood religion that I've been conditioned to believe in, I start reading books about the saints of whatever particular religion that is. And then I read that these saints basically did the same thing. They said, thy will be done, and I'm not a doer, and let me go and be of service to others rather than trying to serve me, and there's happiness. And then that will lead then to the understanding that, oh, so there is this, you know, this sense of devotion, this sense of, I want to know. Like, I want to know, whether it's I want to know God or whether I want to know myself or I want to know. I want to know the reality. And your inner master then manifests within this form-based illusion as this teacher or this guru who or this priest or whatever who tells you then, just be with you. Just like in Christianity, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And we say, remain with selfless self. Just be with you. The same kind of thing. Just be with you. Be still. And not just still in body. Like you don't go to a silent retreat and you're thinking about all the things you have to do when you get home, but you're not saying a word. Oh, yes, let's just bow and be silent. No, the silence is starting to come because you're starting to understand that this mind is there basically only as a concept to put you in a place where you can see yourself directly. And this flow of thoughts, when it's not identified with, is as if it's not there. You know, like you get a little Zen fountain in your house, and for a while you look at it and you're watching the water and all this kind of stuff. But after a while, it becomes the background noise because it's just there. Okay, this flow of thoughts is there, but it's no longer this like flow. And as you pay less and less attention to the thoughts, because there's nothing that these thoughts can say about the true you, and you're starting to know yourself in a real sense, then you're just with yourself. And then you start to get this recognition of the presence that you are in an empty mind, reflecting. And the more you meditate and remain with your selfless self, presence remaining with presence, it's just, oh, so that I am that. And not this I, but that I that believed it was separate knows now that it's everything. And by being formless, you break out of this concept of being born or dying or being destroyed or being, how can anything happen? How can that be divided? If the entire world exploded and all the beings in this illusory existence were gone, you are. And you never are not. Because again, formlessness. It doesn't begin and it doesn't end.
And presence also.
Well, presence is formlessness. Formlessness felt through the body form in the illusory existence is that sense of presence. That you are, you say, oh, this subtle, subtle presence. And as spoken about, it's good. You identify with the sense of presence and not the body. Then you understand, okay, the presence is within the body. And then you start to understand the presence is within the body and outside the body. And actually the body is in the presence. And if I'm the presence, then I can't be the body. Because I'd be inside and outside of myself. You can't be inside and outside yourself. You are. So even, and that's where they use that analogy of the space inside the pot and the space outside the pot. It's all one space. So the presence within this body and the presence outside the body is the same presence. The only appearance of a barrier is this body form. That's why we say this is John. And you can do that more deeply with the air you're breathing. I breathe in, it's John's air in John's lungs. I breathe out, now it's the air, the universal air. But air is air. It came along with the body that we needed to label things because of the fact that we believe we're a thing. As this concept of being a thing dissolves, there's no need for labeling. What is there to label? Except for in conversation. You know, you can't, like somebody says, oh, what's that? Oh, I don't know. I'm formless. Well, it's car. Okay. Because within the illusory existence, there are labels. There's a necessity for labels. That's why we label this subtle, subtle, subtle sense of existence as presence, as I am, as consciousness. We can say it's consciousness because within the presence, the illusory world appears. Within the consciousness of dream or waking, a world appears. But it's an appearance, and you're not in it. Although you appear to be.
I got a major or insight to one of the major mistakes that I've been making today was I go into these blissful states or whatever. It's just the natural state of being open and free of the influence of thought or something. And I start to think about stuff going on, and the thoughts I have about stuff going on sort of distract me from that sense of just open bliss kind of, or it's good to just be here and that feeling.
Of course.
And what I do though is, okay, when I notice then that I have, it seems like I have lost that bliss because I started putting my sense of value and identification into things that are, you know, more limited stuff. And what I recognized was that I'm not that I'm going to feel present according to if my thoughts do start going into limited stuff. And that bliss, it doesn't mean it's not available. It's still going to be available. It's still going to be, but I think it's gone. And now I think I have to seek to recapture it.
Well, you do. You have to pay attention. Yeah. Your attention has wandered off on illusory thoughts, thinking about things that are not actually happening and don't matter at all. And they've gone off yourself.
Yeah.
Like, as long as your thoughts are on yourself or your attention is on yourself, but if you start to, you know, oh, this is happening, or this bill is due, or that is due, or something has to happen, or I have to do this, or I hope my job gets better, or something like this is off, all this is illusion.
But now so, I'm noticing that it's still available all the time.
Of course, because that you are. That's why you don't want to pay attention to the illusory dangling like a Christmas trees, you know? Oh, look at the lights, bright lights and the little ornaments and stuff. No, don't get involved in this. Remain with yourself, Lissell.
And it's sort of like a sense, you could call it a sense of oneness. And I noticed in your, I looked at just a couple of your diary things online. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the one I happened to fall on, it noticed that you said you were realizing that it was almost like a matter of will. You could will the presence of self or whatever.
And that was, yes, absolutely. And also in that, the feeling of expansion, because as the body-mind sense starts to, you know, the illusory layers are removed, there's a feeling of expansion because you're no longer giving this body pressure and this pressurization. And what you're talking about of like being able to will, that's what I'm saying now. You turn towards the presence and away from the thoughts.
Yeah.
And even I wanted to make sure that this wasn't an egoistic practice. I asked Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, like I turn inward, and it's the presence is like almost like a bath of peace rather than outward. And he said, of course. this is, of course.
It's evident. It starts to become self-evident.
Exactly. That's the recognition in the projection. That and another powerful thing is looking at a picture of the master and feeling that presence to presence, that powerful recognition in the projection. And that's just your own self. And you're reflecting between two forms formlessly. And then this will happen again. And in an empty mind, it is like a magnifying glass on an ant in the summertime. The sun beaming through a magnifying glass and just burning away an ant. It does the same with the thoughts. If you are remaining with your selfless self, the thoughts that come and go, the recognition and the projection, the powerful pull of your own self to yourself is crazy. That's like we talk about the black hole. It sucks in all the illusion.
And you're
just there.
My discrimination can now notice more how limiting thoughts are and how they make me feel so limited.
Absolutely. And you're not limited. You're unlimited. That's why Maharaj says which thoughts to choose, which not thoughts to choose is up to you. Don't choose thoughts about the illusory existence that is not happening. I love myself more than anything. That's the selfless self-intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to give myself away, even 1/16th of my attention, onto some illusory something? That something is going to just come and go. But I remain. And if I don't give myself away to every passing thing, then I'm here. And scenes come and go. But I don't come and go. I remain with my selfless self. I don't get involved in the scene. This is how we talked about channel surfing. If you sit there and you watch 5 minutes of a show and you're totally involved in it, but then you flip the channel and you're on a totally different show. Now you get totally involved in it, but you don't sit there and wonder, uh-oh, I wonder what happened in the last, I flipped it. No, forget it. It's just scenes appearing and disappearing. You're not trying to hold on to anything because you're formless. How are you going to hold on to anything? We talked about that. No hands. How do you pick up candy? You cannot. How can you grasp and hold on to anything? You cannot. Nor would you want to.
But we can get the illusion. I noticed, here's a good example. I make videotapes. I copy a show and then I tape, I tape it and then I put another tape in and I make snippet. I take the cool snippets from one tape and condense them onto one. So I make these, I call them boss tapes. It's like a bunch of crazy scenes, the most intense scenes running into each other. And people love, and I like watching them again later, and people like watching them. I'm doing that. And then I get used to the idea that it seems like I can do this to my awareness. I'm repeating something and I think I can stop it forward and back, go back. And then all of a sudden, then I'm watching them, a live TV show, and after I was doing that, and I want to repeat the scene maybe that just passed that I wasn't taping, and I'll go for the tape button to reverse it to watch that scene over again, but you can't do it.
Yeah, tonight I lay down at night and I sleep and I dream that I'm richer than Bill Gates. that my house is filled with gold and diamonds. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I really hope that tomorrow night I could be back to that. I mean, that was so amazing. So, but it's illusory. Okay, it happened for a moment. Oh, look at this. In this dream today, I'm richer than Bill Gates. Man, I have so much. Everything is so amazing. My life is amazing. And then I wake up. It was a nice dream. Okay, it was a nice scene. Whatever was happening, okay. And now it's finished. And you don't cling to it. Like you said, on live TV, you can't sit there and make snippets and do all this kind of stuff because it's just a scene. Now, if you give it over to mind, ego, intellect, Mind, ego, intellect will very happily try and figure it out. And your attention will be grasped. And you will provide the attention and the power to this concept that will birth millions of concepts and take you further and further away from your own self. Of course, it's all untrue. You've never left yourself, but you will appear to have left yourself, and you will identify with the mind flow of all the concepts that you're continuously building. And that poor fire that at one time you had, were getting to see some of the fire away from the ash, it'll be lumped. Like Smokey the Bear came and just dumped a lump on your fire. Nothing. It's still there, but now it's covered under mountains of ash. That's why Maharaj was not happy with, you know, like, oh, if I do these different Vipassana meditations or some kind of thing like this, because it's an egoistic meditation. You're adding more concepts and more layers, and you will not be able to escape that. Even though it's not true. That's the most insane part, is when you say you have all these practices, none of them are true, and yet the concept of the practices are thus that you have some idea that you do not wish to give this up because you're afraid that it'll ruin your spirituality. Mm-hmm. Or in some people's case, I've been meditating for 25 years, and you're saying that was a total waste of my time? You know? It's an egoistic sense of, I've seen so many masters, I've been meditating, I've read so many books, you know, this and this. I can't give that up. That's why then Maharaj very nicely says, no knowledge is knowledge. Because prior to being this, did you have any knowledge? No. After leaving the body, any knowledge? No. In the body-based illusion of existence, the body has acquired knowledge, or seemingly has acquired knowledge in the body-based illusion, just as your dream. You get a PhD in your dream, and then go to your boss when you wake up the next day and say, well, boss, I have a PhD now. I would like to be having a promotion. What? The same with this body. The body, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. The body-based relations are false. Body-based knowledge is false. Everything you've learned, everything you've done, everything you've experienced is false because you are not body. So you just remain with yourself as self. And your illusory enemies, gone. Illusory problems, gone. Because why am I going to pretend? Okay, this body is available. So in the moment, this uses this body. But why am I going to pretend that this body is like has enemies or has problems or that my life isn't going the way I wish it would? You're formless. Stop pretending. This is why Maharaj says, you're no longer child, you're spiritual adult. You can walk on your own two feet. You don't need any support. You are that. Not the concept of that. You are that that remains after everything that can be taken away is taken away. Oh, look at this. This free meeting will end in 10 minutes. I've never seen that before. It used to just boom, pop either. Off. And now it pops up and it says, this meeting will end in 10 minutes. You need to ask, you know, your person to subscribe. So I was like, oh, okay, very good.
but I can see how I get, I forget, or due to dependence on memory in the first place. Okay, I remember that I did have a blissful feeling, and now I'm not feeling that. And it seems so real that the feelings have turned to feeling limited. There's like no way out unless, you know, do mantra or something like that to break the stream of it.
Yeah, don't get caught up in I'm not feeling blissful. Because that's, again, taking you away from your own self and creating a concept of someone that can be blissful. Bliss is the natural experience when you're not thinking about others or yourself, when you're not creating a concept of me or a concept of duality even. You can be here right now without the concept of duality impressing you.
And the thing about what you said, okay, we can willingly turn towards the sense of bliss or whatever.
While there's still a concept of something, or even a formless something that can turn attention. Yes.
But once you're there, you're not turning anymore. And then turning,
once you know yourself in a real sense, there's nowhere to turn. There is no in, there is no out, there's no sideways, there's no, you just are. How can you turn inward? You cannot, because you don't have a concept of any kind of object that can turn any way. Even the concept of attention is not there, because attention needs a point from where you say, from this point, I'm paying attention to something else.
Mm-hmm.
While there's the understanding of something, even the most subtle something, then you can turn your attention. But the more you turn your attention to your own self, this concept of a subtle something will be erased. Even the concept of this body will be erased, because there won't be a, you'll still use it, but it's not pressuring you. And you know that the same you that saw yourself as a small boy all the way up to an older man is the same. That one has not grown, has not aged, has not experienced anything, has not gone through anything. This lump of five elemental goo that you've provided more food for has increased in size.
That's why we don't fear death all the time. We don't, it's impossible to fear death all the time.
You can't die. Like, there's no, once again, in the dream scenario, the dreamer's eternal. If it starts out with 500 dream people, and now there's only 200 dream people, the dreamer has not gained or lost anything. And in this elemental existence of illusion, two bodies get together and make another body. And then present says, oh, I exist. And then mom and dad say to this little existence, your name is John. And then this little existence, it grows up and says, oh, here's another body. Let's make another little body. And so on and so on and so on. And presence is just kind of re-experiencing the sense of existence. And creating a puppet show. I mean, that's really the only way to... And it happens, you know, cows get together and make cows, donkeys get together and make donkeys. Human being gets together and makes human being. Birds get together and make birds. And the formless presence that's everywhere limits itself from the sense of I exist in this objective form. And when that form is no longer available, the presence still very much is. It doesn't gain or lose anything. And that's why that last vestige of egoistic existence is, so my life didn't matter? But it's not like that at all. It says, Maharaj says, you played your role for a time as Keith. Now you're no longer playing that role. But the actor doesn't disappear. The dreamer, eternal dreamer. See, I think because we talk about, oh, when we wake up in the morning, all those dream characters are gone and they were all my own self. And because of identification with a body, we assume that it's the dream character that's, once that character is gone, all the dream is gone. But no, because it's a formless existence. You're laying down sleeping and you're no longer pressured by body. And yet the sense of existence creates a dream world and populates it. In the same way here, the sense of existence creates this waking world, populates it, all illusory population. It's nothing is solid, nothing is real. It's just appearances within your own self, just as it's appearances within your own self in the dream.
Since all forms are changed, all forms are also changeless. I mean, all changes are also formless. Everything's formless because it's all changes.
Well, no, the changes don't appear. The formlessness doesn't change.
But the forms
that are appearing and disappearing within the consciousness, within the presence, within the projection, are changing because they're being created and destroyed. The five elements get together and create something, and then those elements go back to the elements, and then they come back and they create something, and they go back to the elements. And the presence gives the life to living, or the livingness to life. Mm-hmm. But it's not individual. It's universal. And once you stop believing that you're a body, it can't be anything but universal, because if you're not a body, what else are you? Like, how can you be individual without a body? You can't. So the concept of body just has to be removed, and you understand, oh, the universality. There is no John. John's a character for a time. Existence exists. Whether the knowledge of existence is there or not.
Right.
If you didn't exist, the sense of existence could not have appeared to you.
Mm-hmm. And all these little pictures are going to disappear really quick.
Yeah.
So all this is created by concept.
Yes.
And the more you believe that, as I was